dreamed of finding buried treasure when we were children, didn't we? With our imaginations fired by stories like Treasure Island, we often went out on great adventures. And whether we were looking for treasure in the back garden, or whether we were looking for treasure at the end of the rainbow, we would go out and we would search diligently. But most of us came home with nothing, didn't we? Despite our diligent searching for treasure, few of us, if any of us, found anything. But this evening we're going to turn to a passage of God's Word where Jesus tells us about two men who find great treasure. The treasures of the kingdom. Now, Matthew chapter 13 is the third of five great discourses recorded by St. Matthew in his Gospel. And in this chapter, Christ speaks a series of parables about the kingdom. And in verses 44 through to 46, we have the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price. Now, these parables are, at one level, very simple, very easily understood. And yet both of them convey the same important, even great, message. And so if you haven't already done so, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, where we're going to think about three things. Three things that arise from these two parables. Firstly, we're going to think about finding. Buried treasure is all well and good, but at the end of the day, unless we find it, it is of absolutely no value to us whatsoever. So how do these two men find their treasures? Well, interestingly, the man in the first parable finds his treasure purely by accident. Jesus says of him, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. Perhaps this man is a hired hand, working in someone else's field. Or perhaps he's just simply passing through. But either way, this man didn't set out on this particular morning intending to find treasure. In 1912, some workmen were breaking up the floor of a cellar in a house in London. And as they did so, their pickaxes struck the remains of a wooden box. And this wooden box contained the greatest hoard of Jacobean treasure ever found. 500 dazzling jewels and gems that had been buried for three centuries. Not a bad day's work when you think about it, really. Now, in the ancient world, it was not uncommon for people to bury their treasures. In the absence of banks, it was commonplace for people who had valuables to bury them. But sometimes those valuables were lost. Sometimes they were forgotten. And they would lie there in the ground until someone found them who didn't even realize that they were there. And it's often like that with the treasures of the kingdom, isn't it? Perhaps it was like that with you. People who had no interest in the things of God, no interest in the gospel, suddenly found Christ. Perhaps that was your experience. You were just getting on with life. You weren't particularly religious. You didn't have thoughts about the gospel or about the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't have any particular interest in religion. But then completely out of the blue, you found the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are examples of this in Scripture, aren't there? Think of Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, as he had done on countless previous occasions. He didn't set out that morning to meet with Christ, but that was the day when he did so. Think of the Samaritan woman who had gone probably on a daily basis to the well in order to get water. She didn't set out that morning to meet Christ. But in both cases, that is exactly what happened. Now, things are different with the second man in the second parable. And things are different because he is searching. Jesus tells us in verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Now, pearls in the ancient world were particularly rare and precious. And we can be sure that this man travels far and wide as he seeks to search for fine pearls. No doubt there were many false alarms along the way. Moments when he thought that he had found the best pearl. But then on closer examination, he found little imperfections. And so his pursuit, his search continued. Until the day when he finds the pearl of great price. And again, it can be like that in the kingdom. It can be like that with the treasures of the kingdom. Whereas some find the treasures accidentally, humanly speaking, yet there are others who are searching. Perhaps that was your experience. You knew that there was something more to life than what you actually had. And you were searching for it. You may not have known precisely what it was you were looking for, but nonetheless, you were searching for more. Perhaps you were searching for it in the great philosophies and the great religions of the world. Perhaps there were moments in your experience when you thought you had found what you were looking for, but you were left disappointed. So you kept searching until the day that you found Christ and his treasures. You see, friends, Christ is teaching us a very important truth. He's highlighting the fact that people come into the kingdom in different ways. But whether it's by accident, or whether it's after much searching, I want you to notice that there is always a moment of discovery. And I wonder whether that is true of you. Whether there has been a moment of discovery for you. A moment of discovery in your life. Has there been a moment when suddenly you came across the treasures of the kingdom? Has there been a moment when you have discovered Christ? So we thought about finding. Secondly, we need to think about treasure. We need to think about treasure. In November 1922, Howard Carter and his team discovered a hidden stairwell It was full of rubbish, and it took them 3 weeks to remove the rubble from the stairwell. And at the bottom of the stairwell was a sealed door. And on the 26th of November, with Lord Carnarvon, Howard's great sponsor, standing behind him, Howard drilled a small hole in the door and then placed a candle in the hole that he had made. And he looked through the hole, and Carnarvon asked him, "Can you see anything?" And Carter replied, "Yes, wonderful things. Wonderful things." As I'm sure you're aware, they had discovered the tomb of the boy king, Tutankhamun. Now, both men in our parables make a great discovery. One discovers hidden treasure, the other discovers a pearl of great price. They're very different men. One is a hired hand, the other is a merchant. They make their discoveries in different ways. One discovers his treasures by accident. The other finds his through diligent searching. But they both discover something of unimaginable value. And this is how it is with the kingdom. All kinds of different people, in all kinds of different ways, discover the unimaginable treasures of the kingdom of heaven. But the question is, what are those treasures? What are the treasures of the kingdom? Well, in many ways, the word treasure is very comprehensive. And we could spend the rest of our time this evening compiling a list of the many treasures of the kingdom. But everything on that list, all the treasures of the kingdom, find their source and their center in the same incomparable person. They all find their source and center in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christ is supremely the hidden treasures of the kingdom. Christ is the pearl of great price. Now, friends, what is it about Christ that is so valuable? Why is he the hidden treasures of the kingdom? Why is he the pearl of great price? Well, let's think about two things. Think who he is. He is the Son of God. He is the creator and sustainer of everything. He is the Word made flesh. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the one in whom all the Godhead dwells bodily. Think of what is found in him. He is full of grace and truth. He is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him is every spiritual blessing. In him is redemption and the forgiveness of sin. In him is the healing of the soul. In him is light and life. In him is resurrection. In him is an eternal inheritance. Christ is the treasure. Christ is the pearl. Matthew Henry says of Christ, "In him there is an abundance of all that is rich and useful." Later on we will sing these words. "Jesus, Jesus, all sufficient beyond telling is thy worth. In thy name lay greater treasures than the riches found on earth. Such abundance, such abundance is my portion with my God. Jesus is the great of discoveries. To find him, to know him, to have him, to enjoy him is to have everything. And so, friend, I have a question for you this evening. Have you made this greatest of discoveries? Whether it was by accident or whether it was through diligent searching, have you discovered the incomparable Christ and the treasures that are found in him? The wonderful thing is that Christ is easily found. You don't have to go far. You don't have to go to the ends of the earth in order to find the Lord Jesus Christ. He is actually here this evening. So we thought about finding. And we have thought about treasure. But there's something else that we need to think about this evening. We need to think about valuation. Finding, treasure, valuation. In 2009, some gold artifacts were discovered in a newly ploughed field in Staffordshire. Excavations followed, and the result was that a total of almost 4,600 items were unearthed. It remains the largest hoard of Anglo-Saxon treasure ever discovered. Now, whenever treasure is discovered, there is a valuation. And the valuation given to the Staffordshire hoard was a valuation of £3.5 million. Now, friends, in our two parables, both men make their own valuations. And interestingly, they come to the same conclusion. What they have found is worth everything that they have. What they have found is worth everything that they have. Of the man who finds the treasure in the field, Jesus says, "And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Of the merchant who finds the pearl, we're told, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now you can imagine these two men doing the maths in their heads. They look at what they have, and they look at what they have found. And they come to the conclusion that what they have found is worth all that they have. And so they sell everything that they have in order to gain these treasures that they found. And it's the same with the treasures of the kingdom. And friends, this brings us to the heart, really, of these two parables. What we have found in Jesus is worth parting with everything for in order to gain. Whatever we have in life, Christ is of greater value. The Apostle Paul made this great discovery in his own life, didn't he? Just turn in your Bibles for a moment to Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. And verses 7 through to 9. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 7, Paul writes, "But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Paul came to see in his life that everything that he previously placed value in is worthless in comparison to Christ and all that is found in him. Well, friend, have you made the same discovery as the Apostle Paul? Have you come to see what he came to see? Have you come to see that Christ is of such value that he is worth parting with everything if it means gaining him? Have you come to see that it's worth parting with pride and sin and reputation and position and any other number of things if you gain the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, friends, we need to bring things to a close this evening, but before we do so, I want to ask you a question. And my question is this: to whom are these parables spoken? To whom are these parables spoken? Well, if you look at our passage, you will notice that up until verse 35, our Lord is speaking to the crowds. But from verse 36 onwards, Jesus is speaking to the disciples behind closed doors. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? We've applied these parables evangelistically, and it is perfectly legitimate to do so. But friends, first and foremost, these two parables are for disciples. You see, every day, we need to remind ourselves of the same equation, the same calculation that we made when we first came to Christ. Every day of our lives, we need to remind ourselves that Christ is of greater value than everything else that we have. We need to remind ourselves every day that Christ is of such value that he is worth parting with everything. Somebody has said of these two parables that they have a key to discipleship. Now, friends, why do we need to remind ourselves on a daily basis that Christ is worth parting with everything? We need to do so because every day the world seeps into our hearts. Every day the world seeks to draw us away from Christ. And Jesus is saying to us that every day we need to make the same calculation. Christ is worth everything. Because only when we make that calculation every day will we be able to die to sin and to self and die to the world and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we make that calculation, we know, don't we? We know that it's true. We know that what we have gained in Christ is worth parting with everything. But we need to remind ourselves every day. When you're in school, when you're in university, when you're in the workplace, when you're watching television and seeing images of people who live far better lives than you do and seem to be having a far better time than you are, you need to remind yourself that what you have found in Christ is worth parting with everything. Have you found the treasures of the kingdom? If you have, rejoice in those treasures. If not, seek them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray.